This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
You're listening to the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue on Sports Radio 1180, the VLZ, and SwainEvent.com.
Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America, hour 3, powered by Low T Center, lowtcenter.com. Man, I'm so happy, so pumped to be joined by our next guest, VFL, former Vol, Tony Robinson, T-Rob. Good morning, my friend. T-Rob, you there? We'll try to get him. Let's try to get.
Sounds like somebody's there.
Yeah, let's try to get him back. T-Rob, you there? Oh, yeah. Call him back. We'll try to get T-Rob. I know he's he's traveling right now, and cell phone service could be hit or miss. So let's try to call him back and get him back on the line with us. But that documentary, Year of the Scab, man, that was
how was it?
That was.
I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Really cool, man. They had a lockout 1 year, and I mean, the players were actually picketing outside NFL complexes, and they brought in the replacement players on a bus, and some of the current Redskin players were basically throwing things at the bus, and one guy broke the glass with his fist, really giving the replacement players a hard time because listen, you're messing up their strike. You want to make the owners sweat. Well, the owners had football. They didn't lose as much money as they would have lost if the replacement players would have stayed at home. So the current players were actually mad at the replacement players because they were messing up their strike. And so these players are outside the complex and in practice yelling things and really making it tough for the replacement players, threatening them. It was intense, man. It was really intense. And we have T-Rob on with us now. T-Rob, good morning.
Good morning, Jay. What's going on, man?
Man, everything. I'm so happy to be joined by you. Playing in the mid-2000s, you learn about the great players that played before you. And the fans have done a good job with this as well. But going back and looking at all the great players of Tennessee, I'm just, man, I'm honored that you're joining the program this morning, man. One of the best players in Tennessee football history. And just so happy where you are now, going back to school, finishing that deal, and then serving as a mentor to these young players now. First, just want to say I'm proud of you, man. I'm young enough to be your son. I'm proud of you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it, man. It's been a long time, man. But everything's coming together. Good.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you this, T-Rod. A couple years ago, man, we had this this flag football game, and this was during the orange and white game, and the MVP of the game was going to receive a large trophy. Well, the trophy is so big, no one could fit it anywhere in that house. And you won that MVP trophy. Question, where is that trophy, T-Rob?
Well, what they did was I won it 2 years in a row. So they gave me two trophies, sort of. They just broke it down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? They broke it down. It was about 5 foot tall. Both of them about 5 foot tall.
Yeah, it's huge, man. Yeah. It's huge. T-Rob, last night, like I told you, I was going to watch the documentary for ESPN, and it was like mind-blowing what was going on. And I saw you hop out of the bus, T-Rob, and you got on your good foot inside during a time where the current Redskins players are not too happy that you guys were replacement players. T-Rob, you look quick off that bus, man. I caught you. Take us back and kind of explain, kind of what's going on during that time, you getting in and being able to give the Redskins a win over their rival, the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, back then, man, it was kind of intense for a second there, but it calmed down after a day or two, man. Everything, you know, once we got there. And the guys, you know, they started coming in working out themselves, you know. But they worked out, I guess, earlier in the morning. Then we came in, and then we had our practice and everything. But, you know, it was all good, man. It was all good, you know. You know, like the first part of the movie, you know, where they showing them, Big Hand, bust the glass and everything, man. Yes. It was intense for a second there, but, you know, it got under control, though.
Every great player who had a really good performance in a game could recite their stat line. So I want to ask you, that game against the Cowboys, do you remember your stat line from that game?
Oh, man. I think I was probably, 13 or 20 or something like that.
You were balling, T-Rob.
I just had to go out there and show what I could do, man. You know, I was having fun. You know, having fun playing for one of my favorite teams, the Redskins, and then playing against a team that I've never been a Dallas Cowboys fan. And you know, just it was unbelievable. You know, I'm Monday night and I'm sitting there playing against the Dallas Cowboys, man. So you know, it was wonderful.
It was really cool, man. Really cool documentary. Glad you're a part of it. T-Rob, you're back in Knoxville. You're around the program. You have seen the quarterback play over the last couple of years. We've been blessed to have a guy like Josh Dobbs. Josh was phenomenal last year, even with no 7-on-7 during his first 2-3 years here, which really speaks to how good he really was last year. And now Quentin Dormey, Jerry Guarantano, they're battling for the starting position. I think it's Dormey's job right now, unless he has a bad performance. How have you been able to kind of help those guys with some advice during your time over there on the football field at the complex?
Well, you know, I've known Dormey ever since I come back. And, you know, he's been behind Dawg. He was behind Dawg for 2 years. And, you know, I would go and I would talk to him and Dawg. I would talk to them guys. And I just had a chance to talk to Guarantano. But I just told Dorman, hey, man, you know, it's your job. Take care of your business, you know. Make sure you're prepared. And, you know, when it's time, you know, take care of your business out there on the field. I talked to Guarantano. And, you know, we had a nice little conversation and everything. And, you know, he was more upset that, you know, he didn't get a chance to play that first game, you know. But what I told him was, hey, listen, you know, you just keep working hard, man. Just keep working hard. Keep yourself prepared. Stay in the game. You know, keep yourself in the game, you know, mentally in the game. So if your number's called, you know, you're ready. Because, you know, this game changes mighty fast, man, you know. Day by day, and you know, you never know when your number's gonna be called. So I said, just be ready when your number's called, man. Be ready to go out there and show what you can do.
Tony Robinson here on the Swain Event. T-Rob, VFL, former Vol quarterback. Tennessee, Florida this week. T-Rob, and we know this is a serious rivalry game. It's not as big as it was 25 plus years ago, but it is too. Great football programs. They're right now, they're kind of sputtering. No one has really claimed the SEC East. No one has really grabbed the bull by his horns just yet. When I say Tennessee, yeah. Florida, what comes to mind for you, T-Rob?
Well, you know, I'm fortunate. During my career at UT, you know, they beat us twice. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, I always wanted to beat, you know, a team from Florida. And we had a chance to do that when we played Miami in the Sugar Bowl. But like you said, you know, this game here coming up for Tennessee, it will be a big win for us, you know, especially down there in Gatorland. So I'm hoping them guys can go out there and we can, you know, go out there and play volunteer football, man, you know, like back in the old days. You know, defense got to get a little tougher on and, you know, make some tackles, man. Make some big plays. We got to have some big plays against Florida. You know, even though they're in disarray and everything right now. But you know, it's still Florida, man. And, you know, Florida, Tennessee, hey, them guys going to be up for it, man. So we need to be ready for them.
Last question, T-Rob, before we get you out of here. Who do you have winning this game and why? Who you got?
Well, I got Tennessee winning this game, man. I got Tennessee winning. I think we want this game a little bit more than they do. Even though with the situation that has happened down there this past week and everything, you know, I know I don't think they're gonna be really too focused on the game. But we need to go down there and be focused and be ready for anything from Florida. So I give Tennessee the edge by 10.
T-Rob, wow. Got the Vols by 10.
Yeah.
I like it.
I think we step it up this week, man. With Kelly Callaway, Callaway, man, I think them guys going to have a great game, man. And I think the difference is going to be that kicking game.
That's right.
I think the kicking game is a big difference.
T-Rob said it, Vols by 10. Chris Lowe, ESPN, said the same thing. He gives Tennessee the advantage. I think they're in a better position to win because of special teams. So we're 2-for-2 on Tennessee, and the reason why is special teams. T-Rob, man, thank you so much for your time. I know you're traveling, so I really appreciate you joining us this morning. Safe travels on your way back home.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Jay.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself, man. Tell everybody say hello, man.
Thank you. T-Rob, VFL, former Vol quarterback. I encourage you to go back and watch that documentary. It's called Year of the Scab, and that's what they call the replacement players. They call them scabs because they were coming in and playing. So they were all called that, man. You should have saw how fast T-Rock got off that bus. I think he's like the first guy. He's like a blur. He got off that bus so fast to get inside. It was hilarious. But T-Rock, some real trying circumstances there. You know, T-Rock currently was in jail at the. When that was going on, and the quarterback who they got in didn't want to play, so he left, and they didn't know what to do, so they went and got T-Rob out of jail and signed him, and then T-Rob was still trying to get eligible by the commissioner. The commissioner didn't quite make him eligible, and so in the process, they went back and they tried to get the guy that left, so they brought him back, so you had two quarterbacks, and then the number one guy got hurt against the Cowboys in that game in the first quarter, and then T-Rob came in and delivered a win.
He was 11 for 18, 152 yards, and two interceptions.
Hey.
But got the 13-7 win over the Cowboys on Monday Night Football.
Win is a win is a win.
Replacement players, man. Yes. These guys.
He did good.
These guys got a phone call, and they had a game in less than 2 weeks.
Yes.
They were at the house. T-Rob was in jail.
That's impressive.
I mean, that's pretty impressive if you think about it that
way. Very impressive.
Hour 3 continues here in the Swain event. 9:30, we'll be joined by Dave Bartu, Thomas Goldkamp at the bottom of the hour here in the Swain event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help. Big Orange Football is better alongside another Tennessee tradition, Mrs. Grissom's Salad. Mrs. Grissom's ready-made snacks and meals are perfect for game day. Crowd favorites like the select pimento cheese and cranberry pecan chicken salad are delicious and easy to grab and go right from the grocery store. Going to the game? Visit Mrs. Grissom's in Vol Village for the must-have panini grilled pimento cheese hot dog. Man. Select the best. Select Tennessee's own Mrs. Grissom's.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
VFL's Jason Swain and Todd Kelly with another update on Smoothie King, the healthy alternative to fast food. Fitness blends, slim blends, wellness blends, and take a break blends are all on the menu at Smoothie King. In addition, we now have the delicious and nutritious coffee smoothies that will jumpstart your day and keep you running when you need an afternoon pick-me-up.
Swain, Smoothie King has been the place I can count on for a healthy meal or snack since 1999. They truly are a healthy alternative to fast food. My go-to smoothies are still the Chocolate Gladiator and the Chocolate Shredder with the scoop of peanut butter. Smoothie King definitely helps me keep up the demands of work and a busy lifestyle.
Man, I hear you, TK. I got to stay in shape to keep up with my growing family and all that they're doing. Smoothie King helps me stay energized and ready to meet whatever the day brings. Make the Sip by Sip program part of your life. Use Smoothie King as a meal replacement 5 or more times a week, and you'll notice the difference.
Swain, you and Smoothie King are both legit. We need to get to Smoothie King right now, Swaino. I need a Chocolate Gladiator with some peanut butter, and I can truly say I'm a Smoothie King for life.
Smoothie King. Delicious and nutritious. The healthy alternative to fast food. Don't forget the peanut butter.
It's tailgating time in Tennessee, which means you need to be calling Dead End Barbecue to make sure your tailgate is a five-star event. They have several different packages to choose from so you can truly get something to please everyone. Whether it's pulled pork, hamburgers and hot dogs, wings, and most everything in between, Dead End has you covered. They will also be set up in Volunteer Village before every home game, so you can swing by and get a pork sandwich, house barbecue chips, or their tailgate nachos. It's a win no matter what you choose. For more info on Dead End's tailgate packages, log on to deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
No one will be selling pre-owned vehicles for less this month than Beatty Chevrolet. Find massive pre-owned savings on over 250 vehicles. Chevys, Toyotas, Hondas, Fords, Nissans, Jeeps, Subarus, and more. Save up to 50% off original MSRP. 50% off. Like this pre-owned 16 Chevy Malibu, now $13,995. And a pre-owned 14 Hyundai Santa Fe, $15,995. Plus, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life.
Hyundai Santa Fe, stock number P6279A, Malibu, stock number P6311, plus tax, activity, subject to prior sales, savings include all manufacturer, dealer, incentives, and rebates. Not all buyers will qualify with the proof credit. For details.
Do you know about PAD? PAD stands for peripheral arterial disease, and you may not even know that you have it. Do you have troublesome pain in your legs or problems walking? If so, it may be PAD. Premier Surgical Associates in Knoxville wants to make sure you're aware of this silent killer. If you're a smoker, are diabetic, or have leg and foot sores that won't heal, visit your family doctor now and get tested for PAD. It takes just 5 minutes and it's totally painless. You can go to premiersurgical.com to find out more. Premier Surgical provides state-of-the-art treatment for all circulatory conditions, including PAD. Go to premiersurgical.com and it could save your life. Premier Surgical Associates, expertise you can trust.
You're listening to The Swain Event.
This is Ron. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, my Yorkshire Terrier has chewed up the legs on my kitchen table. Is there a cheap way to repair that?
Great question. Take a walnut and rub it into the legs of your table. That'll mask the scratches. Next thing you want to do is ditch the terrier and get yourself a proper dog. Any dog under 50 pounds is a cat, and cats are pointless.
Fueled by Dead End Barbecue on Sports Radio 1180.
Swain Event fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Swain Event TV driven by Toyota Knoxville and ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Show is also brought to you by Premier Surgical. If you have leg pain or trouble walking, you may have PAD. That's peripheral arterial disease. If you have any of those symptoms, ask your family physician for a test. That test just takes 5 minutes, completely painless, and you can figure out if you might have PAD. And then Premier can help you with it if you do. PAD and other circulatory conditions, they have a bunch of procedures that they offer.
Go to premiersurgical.com for more information, and it could change your life. Save your legs, save your life. Premier Surgical.
I wonder if Mr. Bartu has some insight on Vanderbilt.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Will you give up? Give it up.
No, I stopped.
Nah, listen.
For the day.
Vanderbilt's going to be better. I understand. They'll be better.
I mean, Tennessee's still going to whoop that trick last weekend of the season.
They better.
Cooper says, so Chris Lowe just said T. Martin will be Tennessee's head coach next year.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's man. What I heard.
Y'all crazy, man. He didn't say that.
A little assumptive, maybe, but.
Oh, man. That's funny.
What do you think T. Martin will jump to a school at the same level as Tennessee, or do you think he'll have to maybe go to a South Florida, a Florida Atlantic, that level school before he gets to a big-time school?
I think timing is everything. You know, Alabama's winning right now because they had a vacancy at the time Nick Saban wanted to leave NFL. Arkansas got one of the best coaches in the SEC because they had a vacancy when Bobby Petrino ran out on the Falcons. Timing is everything. You know, Tennessee hired Derek Dooley because timing was not on our side. There wasn't a lot of available coaches at the time. That plays into a coordinator getting a good opportunity. Kirby Smart benefited from Georgia getting tired of Mark Richt, and they pulled the trigger. Does Kirby Smart get that opportunity somewhere else if it wasn't Georgia? I don't know.
Probably. Just because he was one of those Alabama defensive coordinators.
Probably not, but I don't know that. For T. Martin, if there's a big Power 5 job open, and like what Chris Lowe said, he's on these AD's short list, it could possibly happen. I know T. Martin had a chance to go get a head coaching job last year and turn it down. So
what level was that job?
He's being patient.
Without being too specific.
It was not a Power 5. Okay. It wasn't one of the Power 5s.
It was like a Conference USA, Mountain West,
yeah,
that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
and those are good stepping stones for coaches.
Absolutely. Jim McElwain had the same opportunity to go to Colorado State, and then he got the Florida job. So
UTSA, Texas San Antonio's coach, Frank Wilson. Frank Wilson, he's this year's PJ Fleck.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with T. Martin. He's always going to be a VFL. We always want the best for him. So had to ask Chris Lowe about T. Martin because, listen, he was named offense coordinator of the week, you know, for that job against Stanford, putting up 42 points.
A good Stanford defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think this offseason in terms of coaching hires is going to be really compelling because you got finally Chip Kelly in the right position to take another job. And then you got a bunch of jobs at a pretty high level that might be opening. I mean, you're talking just in the SEC, Texas A&M, worst comes to worst, Tennessee, Auburn maybe.
If Auburn's offense continues to
– yeah.
If their offensive line continues to play like they did against Clemson, they won't win a lot of games this year. And if they don't win a lot of games this year, Gus Malzahn will not be back.
Yeah, Ole Miss, Kentucky.
Yeah, Matt Luke is trying to prove himself.
I mean
– Kentucky looks – we're going to talk about a team that fell off quick.
Yeah.
Through two games, they
didn't look too
bad.
If I am Jay Jacobs at Auburn, you have an offense that's been built for Gus Malzahn for a while. And Chip Kelly can come in and he'll have those same players to his disposal. Mm-hmm. So
same at Texas A&M. Auburn's so weird to me because their offensive line is full of 4- and 5-star guys, and they're just not playing up to their talent level. They have Herb Hayen, their offensive line coach, did a great job at Vandy.
Mm-hmm.
Gus stole him away from James Franklin at Penn State.
And he can cook, too.
Herb
Hayen.
Kenny?
Yeah, he can cook. Yeah, he's on Food Network.
Oh, was he really?
Uh-huh, he can cook. Yeah.
I know you were watching that. But Herb Hayen and Tennessee's old offensive line coach that went to Arkansas, then to Georgia. He's the reason Dan Skipper went to Arkansas.
Sam Pittman.
Sam Pittman and Herb Hand are two of the best in the country. So it's been weird to see Auburn's offense not live up to – and that points directly to coaching.
Auburn, their little brother's Alabama, and they got to make a splash. They got to do something. because Alabama is dominating them, and that's not a good look in that state. So Jay Jacobs may be put in a really, really tough position with Chip Kelly out there, and he's available. And he's not just at the house chilling. He's on TV. He's analyzing games, which puts more pressure on the decision makers because you see him and he's available. So we'll see what happens. You know, A&M, maybe Tennessee. You know, hopefully Tennessee doesn't have to make a coaching change, but it could happen. And then Auburn only scoring 6 points against Clemson. Clemson's a good football team, but your forte is offense, and you can't get it going. This has not been the first time either for Gus Malzahn. So we'll see what happens.
And there's another school in the East that could have a vacancy at the head coach position as well.
You mean Florida?
Mm-hmm. I think Jim McElwain is stepping onto the hot seat right now, especially if he loses to Tennessee this weekend. He will be on the hot seat, but I think he'll still, regardless, unless they win like 4 games like they did a couple years ago, he'll be back next year. But I think his seat is really starting to heat up.
Because for the same reason Gus Malzahn. Offensive, you're supposed to be an offensive guru.
And you're not doing anything.
The offense is not getting it done. So it's going to be tough for McElwain if he loses to Tennessee, if he loses to Georgia.
He's going to lose to Tennessee.
Probably next year for McElwain. One of my favorite guests in the history of the Swain event is going to join us next. That's Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. He's been featured on ESPN College Game Day. He's been called on by ADs across the country because of his analytics.
Coaches.
He's one of the best in the business. Coaches. He is one of the best in the business. And your hair may jump up a little bit when you hear him talk about this 2017 football team opposed to last year's football team and the chances of winning big. So we'll talk to Dave Bartu coming up next.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Goes your car insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way, even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage. It's not available in all states.
By now, you know that Mooyah has the best burgers in Knoxville. Their beef is never frozen, they have all-natural turkey burgers and black bean veggie burgers, not to mention they make their buns in-house every day. But now, you can also get 100% all-beef hot dogs or, wait for it, all-natural chicken sandwiches. Trust me, these chicken sandwiches put chicken restaurants to shame. So stop into Mooyah and taste the difference. Located at 7301 Kingston Pike, right by Better Match.
Whether you're hosting a cookout or just relaxing with your family, you don't want to be bothered by ants. Unfortunately, they are terrible this time of the year, and sometimes the problem can become worse with the over-the-counter sprays. Southeast Termite and Pest Control has a solution for that pesky ant issue. Whether you need a one-time treatment or monthly treatment, Southeast Termite and Pest Control has you covered. They offer different treatments for different types of ants. There's no salesman to deal with, so homeowners, you deal directly with the technician that provides the service, and the owners of Southeast Termite and Pest Control are available every day. Don't let ants interrupt your good time. Contact Southeast Termite and Pest Control at 865-925-3700 or online at southeasttermite.com.
Jason Swain here. Gentlemen, it's time to get back in the game. Did you know that 1 in every 3 men over 40 may have low testosterone? Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. Do you know your numbers? I know mine. Low T Center makes it quick and easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and you know your results within minutes. Their service is even covered by most health insurance. Call 865-392-1388. That's 865-392-1388. Or go to lowtcenter.com.
Charlie Burris here. If you ever see me wearing a cool Tennessee-themed t-shirt on the show or out around town, I can tell you, it came from nothing too fancy. These guys have the most awesome vintage-style men's and women's t-shirt designs for all ages. From the TriStar to Sunsphere to Norris Lake, they have apparel for everything that you love about East Tennessee. And they don't just have t-shirts either. They also have blankets, glassware, koozies, stickers, and more. Find all of the incredible stuff that Nothing Too Fancy has to offer at 435 Union Avenue in downtown Knoxville or at nothingtoofancy.com. You'll love it. I promise everyone will be asking you where you got that cool t-shirt from. Again, it's Nothing Too Fancy, 435 Union Avenue in downtown Knoxville or nothingtoofancy.com.
You're listening to The Swain Event.
Animal proteins, 4 to 8 servings daily. Cow, pig, chicken, deer, fish, for sport only. Fish meat is practically a vegetable.
SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Now joined by probably the best guest in college football. That is Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. Dave, good morning, my friend.
Swain, what are you doing, man? You trying to put me to sleep with that intro music? Oh my gosh,
Ben!
I know everybody out there is like already at work and face down on their desk. But man, it's still dark out here.
Ben, you got to give Dave some good music. Pump him up. Get some Lil Jon in here.
All right.
Get some West Coast swag going on. You know, Dave's on the West Coast. Let's get it going.
I'll get some Lil Jon pumping.
Let's get it for Dave Bartu. Dave, man, it's been a while, man. How you doing?
It is been a while. It's been too long, brother. But I've been doing good. It's actually, I love September because you get college football and bow hunting elk out here in Oregon. So two of my favorite things.
Dave, you are high on Tennessee in 2017. When you crunched the numbers, when you put the analytics in, a lot of people thought last year was a chance for Tennessee to win some big games. And Tennessee came up a little bit short. But I remember having you on last year, and you said, guys, 2017 – it's supposed to be the year for Tennessee. Do you still feel that way?
Well, yeah, I do, you know, because you look at the schedule and you look at how it's set up for Tennessee. And, you know, like I did in one of the audio previews at the beginning of the year, you know, going through Tennessee and profiling their schedule, it's real simple. You got a 10-2 schedule, okay? And that is a, you know, where is that going to put you? Top 15 at the end of the year? You go 10-2. Now, I know for some fans are like, hey, that's not good enough. Well, you're still only the fifth best recruiter in the SEC. And you look at all the other fifth best recruiters around the country, you know, looking for 12-0, 11-1 is a big reach. So, you know, but the problem is, here's kind of the problem, is you got a 10-2 schedule, but so far you got a 9-3 coach. Okay?
Okay.
You got a minus one game per year coach, consistently underperforming the talent versus the schedule. Now, I know last year, really bad rash of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I think Tennessee is tied with what LSU and Auburn for the most SEC conference wins the last, you know, whatever, 4 or 5 years. And for some fans, that just doesn't feel like it's good enough. But with Tennessee, you're talking about coming into this season after the last 4 years, you're talking about the fourth or the eighth best recruiter in the country. Eight. Okay. Everybody but Clemson last year, this century that has won a national title, was in my top 10 of talent coming into the season.
Mm.
So it's not for a lack of talent. It's just a brutal schedule. And, you know, you've had some transitions, too. You haven't been able to figure out the offensive coordinator issue. You've had, you know, you're on two defensive coordinators now, I think, in Butch's tenure.
Yes.
So, you know, it was... Am I high on Tennessee? Well, I'm in Oregon. I'm supposed to be high on everything. But, you know, like I said, it's a 10-2 schedule. And in a 12-game schedule, you get a couple breaks, bam, you're at 11-1. And so the potential is there for Tennessee as much as anybody in the country, in my opinion.
Ooh, man, I love those numbers, Dave. I love those numbers. It made me feeling really good about my squad. When you look at Tennessee, Florida, Dave, look at the suspensions, you look at what's going on with the hurricane and maybe how that may affect the home field advantage for Florida. If you are a betting man, are you messing with this game or are you staying away from it?
I'd be staying away from it.
Why is that?
Because, you know, you have, because of the numbers don't jive for me. you know, because part of it is like, you know, how do you really, because when I'm looking at these games, the first thing I'm looking at is the talent level in this game. And coming into the season, just straight on paper, it's about even. Tennessee is more talented than Florida, though. Okay, if this game was neutral field with this spread, no problem taking Tennessee. If this game was at Tennessee, and it's a 5-point spread right now, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so nobody has 5 points, except maybe a handful of teams. So even if this game was at home, you're still looking at Florida being favored in this game, or a pick-em. And to me, that's a no-brainer for Tennessee as well. And the gut feeling, though, is you just never know when a team that's really talented is going to change their course. Because Florida, I mean, they haven't scored anything this year. I mean, they've barely scored 5 points. How are they going to cover that? You know, but they have the home field advantage. But they have a talent disadvantage. They have a coaching. It's basically a coaching wash. You know, you look at the head coaches, I'd favor McElwain in his career, but you look at the grades of the offensive and defensive coordinators, and that favors Tennessee. So, you know, if you said, Dave, you got to bet something. You got to bet something in this football game. I'll take Tennessee to cover this thing, and that's as far as I'd go with that one.
Dave Bartu, CFBMatrix.com. You can follow him at CFB Matrix. One thing that we talked about earlier this week that's really cool is how you guys are going to start sharing some tendencies of coaches out there. Kind of share with us a little bit about that, Dave.
Oh, some of the work on the inside. Well, you know, it's we do private work and consulting for college football staffs around the country. And it's individualized based on their needs. But one of the things we thought we'd do is kind of start I'd say dumbing it down, making it a little bit more simple so that you could see, you know, that the fan can go into a game and you could say, okay, Tennessee's playing Florida. You know, is there any tendencies here? And we'd be able to give you, okay, here's your first quarter tendencies, your second quarter tendencies of the offense in terms of what are their odds of running in any situation, passing in any situation. And it also breaks down the defense they're playing, where they're strongest. You know, so let's say, you know, defense, you know, inside the 50 with a game that is one score or less, you know, it'll tell you where they've given up the biggest plays, you know, down and distance and where they're weakest, because a lot of the defensive coordinators have tendencies to be in certain base situations given down and distance, and teams have been able to exploit it on play calling, but a lot of teams just simply haven't realize there's a pattern to exploiting plays like that. So there's something we're working on to be able to give the public, to kind of give them another way of looking at a football game live.
Now, Dave, I've had this theory about Clemson, and obviously they looked excellent against Auburn. But I've said they are at the very least starting to get to the point where they are in Alabama's territory, where they're, you know, every five-star they have is backed up by at least a four-star, and every four-star is backed up by another four-star, and they've kind of built this up where they're just a really powerful program. In your analytics and you looking at it, is that actually true? Because I've tried, and it seems true to me, but what are your numbers saying there?
We were just talking about being high a minute ago, I think, and this is a good transition. This is a good transition. No, I don't... Nobody's in Alabama's territory.
Okay.
Seriously, dude. Nobody is. Okay. It took a transcendent once in a life, you know, generational quarterback for Clemson to overcome Alabama. Mm. But here's the thing with Clemson, okay, is there's actually two things that really, really stand out for me with Clemson. Number one, their recruiting has improved. Okay. 5 years ago, they were high teens. Now they're low teens. They recruit on the level of a Oklahoma. A Texas A&M, a Florida, okay? But I think the big difference that I'm seeing in Clemson versus a lot of these other elite, semi-elite recruiters is our offensive and defensive coordinator. And this is something brand new that we've come up with, you know, at CFB Matrix, is we've started, it was 2 years ago, we started grading offensive and defensive coordinators based on scoring efficiency. And Clemson, now if you look at everybody that recruits in the top 20, very few of them have two coordinators graded B-plus or better for their careers, okay? So Clemson, I think the big strength, one of their big strengths that nobody talks about is you have two coordinators, offense and defense, that are both top 20% for their careers in active coordinators. You know, you look at all the other teams that are out there. You look at Auburn. They played Auburn last week, right? Okay, you got one good coordinator, one bad coordinator. Alabama, you just mentioned, they're kind of a freak. You got an A-plus defensive coordinator, but it's like a revolving door at offensive coordinator, yet they still win. So I think Alabama's an anomaly you kind of got to throw out. You know, Georgia, two terrible coordinators. Florida, awful offensive coordinator. You know, so I think, in Clemson, I think one of the big differentiating points with them is the stability at the offensive and defensive coordinator. And those two guys' ability together are a lot better than, most teams out there in that top 20 of recruiting.
Dave Bartu here in the Swain event, CFB Matrix. And I want you to tell us how we can be a part of CFB Matrix, how we can get access to all these awesome athletics. Also, Dave, I want you to give us some of your top games that you're looking at for the betting man out there. Before we get you out of here, quick segment today. I apologize, but two parts. I want to know how we can get on CFB Matrix, how we can get that analytics to help us, if we want to bet, if we want to look at the games, knowing this information. And then two, give us your top games that you're looking at.
Yeah, well, two things. Just accessing everything. I transitioned over to a Patreon account. And it's patreon.com/CFB Matrix. And there's all sorts of different levels of being part of the CFB Matrix community. I mean, there's a free level, and then, monthly subscriptions go up from there, and access changes. So if you just want basic stuff, it's there. If you want my best bets and leans and some more statistics, there's a certain level. If you're a data geek, I have every play-by-play of college football available. I have every play-by-play of the NFL available. There's all sorts of stuff in there, and there's more being added every week to provide a good value for everybody. So, and if anybody's listening, if you do have questions, just follow me on Twitter at CFB Matrix and shoot them at me. As far as games go, in terms of betting, as you and I talked about off air, because one of the things we've really been focused on is over and unders and using these offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator grades in terms of targeting it, and it's been highly effective. So one of my favorites this week, you got North Carolina hosting Old Dominion. And I know that's not sexy, but something, winning bets is, and that's what we're trying to do here. Yes. So you look at North Carolina, Old Dominion, you have two teams here. Their offensive coordinators are both A-minus grades. Their defensive coordinators, one's a D-plus grade, one is an F grade. So what you have in this game is you have a huge talent gap, which is a little bit of a concern, but you have a huge advantage on both offensive coordinator sides. So when I'm looking at this game, I'm over on that game because it highly favors the offense. So that's one of them to circle. Do you have any games you were looking at that we could go over real quick?
What about your thoughts on Vanderbilt, Kansas State?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Great pick.
Something? Everybody has this, ooh, Kansas State. And here's one of the rules of thumbs, okay? You bet against Snyder the White, or you bet with Snyder the White, or you don't bet at all, okay? So that's a really good rule of thumb. That being said, just on paper, if you said, Dave, here's Team A, here's Team B, I'll take Vanderbilt to at least cover that at home. Okay. Now in the numbers, I'm picking Vanderbilt. I'm gonna go upset alert on the show right now. I'm taking Vanderbilt to beat Kansas State. That'll be one of the big upsets this week. You have a highly defensive minded coach at Vanderbilt that can keep this game really close, in my opinion. And so, what's the spread on that thing right now? Is it 6.5?
Yeah, I'm not looking at it.
Yeah, I'm not looking at it.
It's very moment.
It's something like that.
What's the spread, Ben?
If anybody's betting that game, obviously look for a good number. 7.5 is monstrously better than 6.5. Those kind of numbers, 7s and 3s, just like the NFL. But I'll take Vanderbilt to win and cover that one at home this week.
Good stuff.
Wow.
Hey, Dave, I'm going to share how people can have you available on the show every single week here, and it's going to involve their help. And I'm going to talk to you off air. We'll get you back on. But College Football Matrix, that is the one-stop shop for analytics, all information when it comes to betting, understanding the trends, understanding tendencies. Dave Bartu is the man. He's the best at it. So, Dave, thank you so much for your time this morning. I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks, brother. Good to be on in Knoxville again.
Hey, thank you. Dave Bartu, CFB Matrix. This is what we need to do to have Dave on each and every week. Each and every week, we need Dave Bartu on. We need you to go on his site. We need about 25 people to be a part of the community, and Dave will join us for free every single week.
And
it's really, really not that much.
And like he said, I mean, there's like tiers. There's like a $1 tier, a $5 tier, $10 tier. It's whatever you want to get.
Yeah,
we're
talking a dollar. We're talking $5. Like that's nothing. And it's definitely worth it if you are betting to get all the analytics to know which coach is good versus the spread, which coaches are bad versus the spread. It's definitely worth it. So I got signed up at the highest level on Monday with Dave Bartu. I respect his time. I respect all that he puts into the analytics and all the information. And so I went in at the highest level for Dave Bartu. He is one of the best.
Kansas State is 4-point favorites.
4-point favorite. Let me get in on this weekend. B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline now joined by Thomas Goldkamp, Gator Bay 247. Been waiting on you, Thomas, man. We want to know about these suspended players. We want to know about this offense that Tennessee's going to face. We want to know about the crowd. So let me ask you first, what is the crowd going to be like, Gainesville, the Swamp, Saturday, CBS game, Thomas Goldkamp, what you got?
I don't think it should be too different than a normal Florida-Tennessee crowd. I think the biggest thing would be, you know, knowing some of the impact that some of the local areas, you know, big city-wise have had, Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville, you know, you may not have a quite full crowd because I think some people are going to be dealing with some after effects of Hurricane Irma, obviously. But in terms of intensity, I mean, Florida's been waiting to get back on the field. I think players and fans alike are kind of ready to get past that Michigan game. So I would expect a very full-throated crowd, and, you know, it should be a pretty typical Florida-Tennessee environment.
How have they been able to practice during the week and work on things getting ready for the Tennessee game?
Well, Florida obviously didn't practice Monday when the storm was rolling through early in the morning. But they got back onto the field yesterday, kind of got after it. And, you know, they had called the Northern Colorado game as of Thursday last week. So I think, you know, as soon as that game was called, all the focus was on to Florida-Tennessee. And obviously, you know, some players had to deal with, you know, getting their own apartments ready, that kind of thing. But, I don't see that as a huge factor for Florida. You know, they've had enough time now to kind of focus in and lock in on Tennessee.
We talked a little bit off air, Thomas, and we joined by Thomas Goldkamp, Gator Bait, 247 here in the Swain event. Both teams have some glaring weaknesses. You know, you look at Florida's offense and you're just trying to wonder and figure out why McElwain's continue to struggle there on offense. And then Tennessee. Now, Tennessee has some weaknesses with stopping the run with this defensive front. Felipe Franks, tough outing against Michigan, but I think that Michigan football team is better than what people think. How do you think he will bounce back after that Michigan game?
Well, I think that's kind of one of the key questions. You know, it's so early in the year still that we don't know. Is Michigan really an elite team? You know, if they are, I think there were some signs of promise there from Felipe Franks. You know, he threw 4 incompletions, but you start to look at the incompletions, and, you know, 2 of them were passes that were right on the money that Michigan made really good plays on. One of them was a smart throwaway. He really only had 1 miss of the 9 throws he had. The question is, does Florida end up trusting him a little bit more going into this game? Do they let him kind of air it out? Because that is his strength. You know, you mentioned it, Tennessee's run defense is, you know, maybe has some question marks. Well, Florida hadn't run the ball well. They were last in the SEC rushing a year ago. Really had no success against Michigan. I think they're dead last in, you know, in the FBS right now in rushing. So to me, it's kind of one of those situations where, you know, whose unit steps up and does something that you don't expect. Because right now, I think most people would expect Florida to have trouble running the ball. Most people would expect Tennessee to have trouble stopping the run. So one of those units has to win. And whichever one can step up and maybe play a little better than expected probably puts their team in a pretty good position to go and win it.
Thomas, I have a couple of good friends who are Florida fans, and somehow Florida's won the East the last 2 years, and they are not happy with Jim McElwain. What is going on there? What's the tenor of the fan base at large? Because I feel like these two guys that I know aren't, you know, really representative of all of that. But what's happening there?
Well, I mean, I would say it like this. You know, I've kind of used the phrase unsatisfying or hollow, you know, hollow accomplishment even. Those SEC East, you look at the way the division has been the last 2 years, it really hasn't been a very good division. I mean, frankly, it's been one of the worst divisions in college football. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's still an accomplishment to go 13-3 in the regular season in the SEC. Nobody can take that away from Florida. But at the same time, the biggest issue for Jim McElwain and the reason it feels so hollow is that you get to the end of the season and you're playing Florida State and Alabama, and you're not even competitive in those games. And that's the biggest issue. For 2 years in a row, Florida's gotten smacked, you know, by the elite teams on their schedule at the end of the year. And that's just not Florida football. I mean, that's not what fans expect after, you know, going through the Steve Spurrier and the Urban Meyer eras. They expect to be competing with those elite-level teams, and that's just not happening right now at Florida. I think after 8 months of having, you know, an offseason to prepare for Michigan, to come out and look the exact same on offense where there's really no progress, that was the issue, and that's why fans are so upset with Jim McElwain. And frankly, that's why this Tennessee game is going to be really a referendum for him in terms of, you know, are we really making progress here, or are we taking a step back?
Hollow. That's a really great word there. You know, getting to the championship game but not competing. And you look at Tennessee over the last 21 games, 17-4, but it also feels hollow because Tennessee has yet to get to the championship game. So two similar feelings there, I think, with the two fan bases. Who's going to step up behind Callaway being out? He's part of those nine guys in trouble with the credit card scam. Who's going to step up on the outside? There's speed there. I saw that against Michigan. But who's going to step up and possibly be Felipe Franks' number one target?
Well, see, you know, Florida has a lot of talent and a lot of potential there at receiver. Mm-hmm. I still look at it as, you know, in this game, somebody's got to step up. You know, Tennessee's front seven has obviously had some question marks. Florida's offensive line probably has just as many. So, you know, above and beyond the receivers, Florida's biggest issue has been it hasn't been able to give its quarterback a chance to make plays. And, you know, if Tennessee can win that matchup up front like Michigan did, I don't think it matters who's playing at receiver. You know, if they're able to give, you know, the quarterback some time, then I think you've got a lot of options. I think Dre Massey, you know, Tyree Cleveland, Kadarius Toney, there's plenty of names that could step up. The problem is, you know, they've been there, and Florida hasn't been able to give the quarterback enough time to really get to them. So, you know what, until Florida's offensive line steps up, I'm not ready to pick a guy that, you know, is going to step up in place of Antonio Callaway and really be a factor because, you know, your quarterback has to have time, and Florida just hasn't been able to give it to him yet.
Speaking of the offensive line, during this preseason, Cole Kublik of the SEC Network said that he believed Florida had the most talented offensive line, not necessarily that they were the best, but maybe they had the most potential out of any line in the SEC. Against Michigan, they obviously didn't play up to those standards. What has gone into the offensive line not living up to expectation, even though it's been a small sample size?
Well, I'll say this. You know, I respect Cole Kublik a lot. I think, you know, he watches a lot of film, obviously. But I actually disagreed with him on Twitter and went back and forth with him a little bit about that, saying I thought that was very premature. And you know, certainly Michigan has a very good defensive line. But I just don't see it yet with Florida's offensive line. I think you've got two tackles that are pretty talented, very athletic in Juwan Taylor and Martez Ivey, but they were both whipped against Michigan. I don't see the interior of this line as having anybody that's necessarily all SEC caliber. So I personally, I don't necessarily see the talent being, you know, even close to the best in the SEC. I still have major question marks about that unit. I think the Tennessee game will give us a much better idea of what Florida has. You know, the Volunteers only have one sack on the season. Granted, they played Georgia Tech, a triple option team. But, you know, Florida's offensive line has just it's struggled so much, it's really hard to kind of pinpoint that. And I think Jim McElwain even is catching some heat from the fan base because he said this was going to be a strength of the team. He really you know, went on the record about that all offseason, is this is going to be our strongest unit, blah, blah, blah. And frankly, fans were pretty upset when they went and played that Michigan game because that line just wasn't very good. So, you know, a lot of expectations for this unit. I think them more than anybody else on this team are going to be the focal point this week going forward. And really, they have to step up if Florida's going to have a better season.
Thomas Goldkamp, part of the 247 Sports Network. This is my favorite time of the show, Thomas. You know what time it is. This is the time where you tell us who you have in this football game, and you tell us why you have that team winning this game. Who you got?
You know, I don't have a clear favorite in this game, so I'll say that off the bat. Give myself a little out here. I do like Florida in this game.
Okay.
I think that Tennessee has too many question marks defensively. I think that Florida, being at home, having, you know, had an extra week off to kind of think about things, I think that they were able to watch some Tennessee film, find those weak spots on the defense. And I think that they're going to really try to get the ball out a little bit quicker, trust Felipe Franks a little bit more to throw the ball. I think you'll see Florida take some deep shots. I don't know if it'll work necessarily. I'll say this. Florida's defensive line has to show up and have a really good game to make things tough on Tennessee's offense. Mm-hmm. But I think the Vegas spread is pretty fair. I think that, you know, Florida has the talent to win this game. The question mark is, you know, which unit, you know, be it either defensive line steps up and really takes over. And I think that's going to be the key to this game.
Good stuff. Thomas Goldkamp, how can people – the last couple of days before the game, how can they keep up with Florida? Because you never know, man. Callaway and these boys may be cleared, you know, Saturday morning before the game. You just never know. If that happens, how can they find out that news?
Well, I wouldn't expect that, but we'll definitely ask Jim McElwain today. You know, we'll have plenty of updates on GatorBait.net, Florida.247sports.com, and you can always follow me on Twitter at Thomas Goldkamp.
Hey, thank you, Thomas. Appreciate your time, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Hey, thank you. You see the nine guys jogging out of the tunnel in the middle of quarter number one? Oh, my gosh. They've been reinstated. No, probably not going to happen. Chris Lowe, Thomas Goldkamp said that. I was just totally joking.
It's going to be 4th and 17. Florida's driving down the field, down by three. Here comes Antonio Callaway out of the locker room. Timeout.
The investigation's over, guys. Antonio's back.
What's the new athletic director's name?
Scott Strickland.
Scott Strickland's going to run out on the field like Vanderbilt's AD with the email saying, look, we've got it cleared up.
They're reinstated. Let's go.
Antonio Callaway running on the field, tying his shoe, trying to buckle his chin strap.
And then he converts it.
No, because Shaq Wiggins is playing, and he's going to put him on his butt.
Oh, Shaq is healthy now.
Shaq is finally. Miraculously.
He's healthy, and he gets the he knows what he's doing now. I mean, he's only a fifth-year graduate. I'm pretty sure he knows every coverage known to man on defense. But it's good to see Shaq Wiggins back out there, man, because we were wondering where he was. But, yeah, he'll be out there according to a lot of reports that dropped yesterday. So good to have Shaq. They will need Shaq because they can still take shots. You can still take shots and have a successful passing game. Like Thomas Goldkamp said, something's going to have to give. A weakness will be a strength in this football game, Tennessee and Florida. Question is, who is it going to be? Who is it going to be?
This music was meant for Dave Bartu. He said,
Dave called you out, too.
I was disappointed, too, because that was Don't Kill My Vibe by Kendrick, and that's one of his best songs.
Yeah, man. Dave put you on the spot there, man.
He did, but this was intended for Dave.
You will snap and clear. You'll be better next time.
I feel like this would have pumped him up.
Oh, yeah. You'll be better next time. Dave is jacked. He's one of those guests that he is on 10 all the time. So you wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready.
It's okay. You'll be ready tomorrow. See, or next time.
Hard in the Paint by Waka Flocka. I'm ready to go whoop some gators right now.
You got to wait.
I'm ready to go wrangle some up.
You got
3 days. 3 days.
You got to wait. Three more days, man. Here, put on this low-T helmet. Man, put this on.
Look, I don't need the thin anymore. It rubbed the top of my head.
And if you take it off, some hair will come out.
I know. I can't do that.
You leave it up to me.
One, my head's too big for that. And two, I'm already struggling up top. I don't need to speed that progress up.
Oh, man. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. That is our time for today. For Ben McKee, Charlie Burrs, I am Jason Swain. Peace and love. Have a great day.